Hour number four of Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic. David, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't complain. It's, taking it a little easy this weekend.
Absolutely. So, David, we are in the midst of a heated debate here on the show, debating where is the go-to fast food burger. If you're in search of a nice fast food burger, where are you going? Where are you headed to?
Well, let's see. I mean, I suppose it depends on where we're defining fast food versus the fast casual.
See, this is part of the debate. This is part of the debate.
It's tough because I feel like Shake Shack is like the number one, but then there's not that here in Tennessee, so I miss it. So if you're talking about just in Tennessee, In-N-Out's pretty underrated too, and that's not Tennessee. I honestly kind of rotate. I like the char grilled smoke flavor of Burger King, but my wife hates it. I do like Cookout. Cookout would probably be my number one.
Okay, another Cookout vote.
Cookout is good. There's been a few Cookout votes. I mean, as you can imagine, this has been a very divisive topic here on the show.
Well, I like a lot of them, so I'll rotate. They're more different than you would think. I will say, I have not probably eaten a McDonald's burger in like 10 years, and that is a purposeful choice.
It's probably a good choice, David. Through five games, where is Tennessee compared to where you expected them to be at this point in the season, both on the field from the results, but also from the program as a whole?
Well, Kentucky kind of ruined it, I suppose. I thought, it wouldn't be surprised if they had lost a close game to Kentucky. If they had, probably slightly behind. But you're going into the bye and you've lost three, games in a row, and you've gotten embarrassed in at least two of those. Life comes at you fast. I mean, you think about halftime of the Georgia game. People are wondering, is Tennessee going to get to Atlanta, a year or two early? And now you're sitting here, wondering if Jeremy Pruitt's on the hot seat, and it's been, what, 2.5 weeks since that happened? So, college football is a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately sport. I mean, I remember Tennessee fans were mad when I think I suggested that maybe an extension is not the greatest idea before the season, because you give coaches extensions when they do really, when they accomplish really big things, or when somebody's coming to get them. And neither of those things apply to Jeremy Pruitt. And, here we are. And, I think there's some merit to that now. So we'll see. I think in terms of big picture, they're better than they've looked the last 3 weeks. They've played not great and have shot themselves in the foot with turnovers. But now they're going in next week at Arkansas. That's a must-win game.
So are the swings you're talking about there, Dave, David, the swings in I guess, panic, from panic to, like, euphoria, are they wilder with this fan base, or am I just imagining that, and that it's maybe tied to the duration of this, recession for the program?
Yeah, I mean, I think my observations of the fan base, I think that there's like a simmering anger that like is not present in most fan bases, I think. And I think a lot of that is fueled by, they had teams like South Carolina, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt under their thumb for so long. And now, they've gotten beaten by those teams so much that there's just like a base level anger simmering constantly. So when things go bad, I think that comes out pretty quick. I sort of get it, I guess, but I would say yes. The swings are higher, in terms of where that is. And I think it is fueled by just the disappointment of the last decade, but not that much higher. You look around at like Auburn, who's, ready to extend or fire Gus Malzahn based on what happened the week before.
Right.
So, I would say it's pretty up there, just because fans want to win so bad and they want to believe. So when they see that evidence, they jump on it and they say, oh, well, maybe we hadn't beaten you one, but we have won 8 games in a row. So, like, this is definitely the guy. Or, we lost by 30 again. this guy's not going to get it done. Like, we're terrible. Like, we're never going to beat Georgia, Alabama ever again. Like, you know, I sort of get it, but it's I think it's fueled by that hunger. They want to win so bad because Tennessee hasn't won anything of consequence. I mean, depending on your definition, I mean, they're what, 11 years, what, 13 years, or 22 years?
Yeah. David Hubbard from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, have you been surprised that the secondary for Tennessee has struggled as much as they have through the first five games?
Well, that's a complicated question. So, yes, but I think the pass rush is really the issue here.
Yeah.
They can't affect the quarterback. They're not making the quarterback make any rush decisions. And when he doesn't have to do that, he can make much more accurate throws. And when he has time, they have to cover for longer. They haven't been good. I think that's clear, especially over the middle of the field. But they've been okay. But when their pass rush, one, isn't putting the offense in difficult positions, and when they aren't affecting the quarterback, that's going to make it life hard on the secondary. So you combine the pass rush has fallen off a cliff without Daryl Taylor, and the secondary hasn't played great. I mean, part of that is, you know, Jeremy Pruitt alluded to this, and you can call it an excuse, but I think it's true. I mean, Bryce Thompson, Alante Taylor, Sean Schamberger, all those guys have been hurt and been in and out of the lineup and have been playing hurt. That matters. It just does, especially when you're talking about a hamstring injury for Taylor. Schamberger gone. I mean, it has not been great, but I think the pass rush, honestly, is a bigger issue than the secondary itself, because I think the secondary will be fine over time as long as the guy can stay healthy. They got to fix the pass rush.
Can Bryce Thompson actually play with a torn pec moving forward? And like, I haven't heard about too many guys, you know, carrying on through that.
Yeah, I guess there's like levels. I don't know. You know, I'm still in the process of achieving my medical degree, so I'll have to get back to you on that.
There's a lot of doctors on Twitter, David. Come on.
I have never heard of someone playing with a torn pec. Maybe it's one of those things where it's like there's multiple muscles and it's like a slight tear. I really don't know. That's like a thing where you shut down for like 8 months. So I don't know. So we'll see, I guess. Whatever. That sounds not great. That sounds not something that I want to cover a game with, much less play a game with.
So with that pass rush, I know a lot of the focus on, hey, you got more time now, get more young guys reps, maybe, I don't know, Harrison Bailey. But I also feel like defensively there are some guys who maybe, you know, will be difference makers, playmakers, disruptors for the front seven moving forward, but maybe they can get a little bit more of those guys this year. Is anyone stand out to you in that regard?
I think, you know, Amari Thomas on the defensive line stands out there. Tyler Barron has played a little bit. Maybe get him some more run. You know, Roman Harrison, his second year, but he could be that guy. I think you're going to see a lot of new faces when Tennessee goes and plays at Arkansas. I think you're going to see a lot of young guys play that had the ability, but with camp the way it was, where they missed so many practices and scrimmage, they didn't feel like they could trust a lot of these guys. And now, you know, they're kind of going into camp mode this week and doing some fundamentals. And I think you really are going to see a lot more young guys. Are you going to see Harrison Bailey? I think that's up to Jerick Garantano, honestly. We'll see. But I think it's sort of a situation where they want to play some of those young guys, but they were so, you know, their hands were tied during camp. But now, you know, in addition to that, you don't have, you know, weeks where you can, you know, work on some fundamentals in practice when you've got an FCS team or a low-level G5 team and then get them some game reps. I mean, you just don't have those opportunities in an SEC-only schedule. So in the Iowa week, I think you're going to see them, certainly have already worked on some of that stuff. And I think you'll see more youth next week. I don't think you're going to see just like mountains of freshmen, but I think you'll probably see some more get some time.
David Oven from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, last thing for you here. How toxic is this going to get for Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt and this program if they lose this game against Arkansas?
Oof. I mean, it's going to get bad. Arkansas is better than people think, which I hope people realize. I mean, Tennessee is probably going to be a slight favorite in that game. But, I mean, it's going to be pretty bad. I mean, we've kind of already seen this a little bit. I mean, Georgia State was such a shock, and they did play the next week, and that helped them a little bit. And then sort of the if Georgia State is the loss that is that puts you at 1-4 instead of 0-1, I mean, I think you can kind of imagine that's what that looks like. But they need this so bad, and it's a team that they should beat. And you're out of excuses because, you know, at that point right now, Tennessee, you know, you have no spring, you are hurt, you're hit with camp, you miss all those things. You say, well, you know, he's still waiting to get his guys, and the roster is not quite turned over and all those things. Well, you look at Arkansas, first-year coach, they were, what, 2-10 or something last year? I forget what their record even was. They were terrible last year. Well, they're not as good. They don't have this anything. They put in a bunch of new systems, and they come in and beat you. I mean, that all those sort of baked-in excuses for why Tennessee is in the issue that they were, you know, when they played against Georgia and all those things, those dry up in addition to the fact that you lost to a team that you should beat, but you need to win. I mean, you know, Mississippi State last year probably deserves some mention, but this is probably the biggest sort of must-win game of the Jerry Pruitt era where it's all downside, and all it does is you win is sort of clean up the waters a bit. Man, if you lose it, you're really in the thick of it.
David Ubben from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. David, appreciate you taking some time to join us, my man. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. When we come back, we'll react to the news of the day in college football. Trevor Lawrence testing positive for COVID-19. That coming up next. But first, Joe, you've got a word from FanDuel.
I do, because it is very, very close. Sports betting. It's almost here in Tennessee. And FanDuel Sportsbook has an exclusive offer to get you started. $50 in free bets just for signing up. $50 free site credit. You register and you verify early. There's no deposit required for FanDuel, America's number one sports betting site. It's that for a reason. They got odds on all the biggest sports. They have a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're looking for and lock it in. I can attest to this. It is very user-friendly. I need things to be user-friendly, and it is. And there are tons of options on there. And, of course, sports betting is going to open up a whole new world. And unlike other sports books, when you win, FanDuel gets you your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Right thing for you to do, download the FanDuel Sportsbook app right now. Check it out for yourself. And when you sign up, use promo code Joe. That's a J-O-E, so they know we sent you. You verify your account. You get $50 in site credit when the FanDuel Sportsbook is live. It's very close. Promo code Joe. $50 in site credit when FanDuel Sportsbook is live. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable, expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. And for problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Breaking news, Trevor Lawrence, Clemson star quarterback, has tested positive for COVID-19. He is currently in isolation, according to the school, and will miss Saturday's game against Boston College.
I guess when you lose an elite player, the responsibility kind of goes out to the rest of the team. And frankly, the offense is just not going to be as good. I mean, I don't care what anyone says.
Big news on the college football front yesterday, Trevor Lawrence testing positive for COVID-19. Will miss the game for Clemson on Saturday against Boston College. We'll see what his status is for next week's game against Notre Dame. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning. And Joe, we knew at some point, just given how the virus is spreading right now and really just what we've been dealing with for months here in the country, that a high-profile college football player, the chances were high they would get it, and now they have. Trevor Lawrence has gotten it. He will not play Saturday. His status up in the air about the Notre Dame game a week from Saturday. Just your reaction when you saw that news coming across the ticker last night that Trevor Lawrence had tested positive.
Yeah, well, the first reaction is you don't want anyone to get it, so hopefully he's okay and gets through it and doesn't have bad symptoms. And then, of course, the next reaction is what's this going to look like moving forward for him? You know, anyone on a team gets it, and you wonder, what does that mean for the rest of the team? I mean, Wisconsin had a bit of an outbreak here. Their whole quarterback room got affected. It appears with Clemson, Trevor Lawrence lives alone. That's a big – I mean, the contact tracing big worry is, of course, your roommates, you know, the people who you're around all the time. He lives alone. So right now they don't have anything else. And then it'll be Trevor watch here for, you know, next week. I'm sure the Notre Dame fans are already – I'm sure Notre Dame Twitter is, you know, fretting about Trevor Lawrence coming in on Saturday and, you know, throwing five touchdowns on Notre Dame. It looks like right now with the timing that he may not be able to travel with the team next Friday, but he could potentially play in the game, which I still think is also – it seems like a bit of a stretch, but I suppose you could throw him out there with zero practice, zero preparation, having been sick, having been out. I mean, you're probably still going to get good quarterback play from him, right? But he's the next. I mean, the big name before this was, of course, Nick Saban, who quickly is ready to coach. We know with this situation, it's not going to be that, but it times out for them in terms of Boston College, and then in the Big Ten. You got that 21-day thing, so already that's affecting a team that, I mean, Wisconsin could be some kind of a contender for something this year.
Yeah.
And they're missing the best, most talented QB that maybe they've ever had.
And now this weekend for Clemson, DJ Uiagalelei taking over as the starting quarterback.
Look at you.
I've got it down pat now.
Very impressive.
I think. I'm just assuming that's the way to pronounce it. I'm going off the pronunciation guide that Peter Burns tossed out there.
By the way, I sent that audio from earlier in the show to Peter Burns.
Yeah, Porthos ratted us out.
Oh, no.
Well, he asked for it, and I said, Peter, you ask and you shall receive. So I sent him the audio of y'all trying to pronounce that name and the other quarterback's name for Clemson.
Have you noticed how Porth keeps saying that name and the other quarterback's name? He will not attempt it for himself. He does not want to self-sabotage.
More than just a hat rack, my friend.
But he'll get us.
Peter says, good Lord, that was glorious.
Oh, jeez.
Thank you, Peter Burns.
Is he compiling an audio list?
He's probably just listening.
If it's for his own enjoyment, that's great. Enjoy, Peter.
He probably went on SEC Network today with that.
Yeah,
just played it.
This was Robbie and Rex Road in Nashville today.
DJ Angaluele, ukulele. What? I don't even remember exactly how I botched it.
I mean, you just brought up ukulele, but I don't think that was – I don't think you botched his name. It was the other one.
Yeah, which I still have no
idea. I don't remember
who
that was,
Do we have a pronunciation on that? Let's let's just wait till we get to that. But it's Uiagalelei. Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei.
Ui. Ui. Yeah. Okay.
Wasn't the other quarterback Trevor Ponchos and Lefties?
that's
Trevor.
It's right in there.
Oh, man. But, look, in all seriousness, we don't think that the Boston College game for Clemson this weekend – probably not going to be affected all that much. I think the line the last time I saw it was 24.5 for Clemson. Now, if they've up, I don't know whether or not that's been updated since the Lawrence news came out. I'd have to take a look at that again. But just the talent Clemson has, there is a wide gap between Clemson and Boston College on the talent front. There's still a gap between Notre Dame, but it's not anywhere near as wide. I think you're going to need Trevor Lawrence in that game to play as effectively as you want to. I still think Clemson has a chance to beat Notre Dame without Trevor Lawrence, but I really like their chances with him at quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though Notre Dame is good.
I can't imagine, you know, this weekend, again, they're so overwhelming all over the field. And, again, you bring in – now, young, granted young, and that's kind of what happens a lot with these programs, is you'll be very young at the number two because – other guys will have transferred away. I mean, that's just how the reality of the quarterback position is. But Uiagalelei is 6'4", 250, number one pro-style quarterback recruit. He'll probably come in and do some stuff against Boston College.
If he throws for about 405 touchdowns?
Trevor?
You're going to bench Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, you're out, Trevor. You're out, buddy.
We're going to have a Tua and Jalen type conversation with DJ and Trevor?
Well, that did happen, and it would have been unthinkable when some brilliant sports writer with foresight at Vanderbilt Stadium
said,
you found my tweet.
I did.
You did find me. I was ahead of the curve on that.
I want to give you like a weekend quiz and see if you could find the tweet, you have what it takes to find your tweet from September of 2017.
It's not that hard, Joe.
I know, but I can't figure it out.
It is not that hard.
You just search with your name?
You can do an advanced
search.
Part of
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's advanced search. That's my problem.
Okay. If you go back and find the game day, like the date of the game between Vanderbilt okay. and Alabama.
What are
this
you giving him
search.
The secret for? I was going to see if he could do it.
You know the answer to that. Thank you for spoon feeding. Thank you for spoon feeding me that.
I mean, someone's got to do it.
Yeah, and we'll still see if I can pull it off. That gave me a little bit of an edge, but
I will be asking for receipts on Monday.
Yeah, show your work. Yes. It's like when you do math, you got to show all your work. Yeah, I think Clemson. You know, they are going to be fine this weekend. And honestly, I haven't seen much from Notre Dame. I mean, I think they could go in there and
great.
They might win that game by 10.
I know this is going to come. This is going to come as a shocker, but Notre Dame, I think, may be a little overrated. Yeah. I don't know if we've heard that before, but that's kind of where I'm going with this. I think Notre Dame's really not all that good.
So from where you sit, because I in the Midwest for a long time, recruiting rankings too. Notre Dame and Michigan, it was there were a lot of players and teams way over. So do you think that way more of Notre Dame or more of Michigan?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that way of both. I think I lean Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And because Notre Dame, I feel like, always gets the benefit of the doubt more than other teams do. Like Notre Dame, they go on a two-game winning streak and somehow vault their way up into the top five. It frustrates me. Notre Dame has been overrated for my entire life. Now, granted, I was born in 1992. So when I remember
you were born in the heyday.
Watching football was around 98. 2000. And they haven't been very good since then.
Well, and that's exactly when they – because they were actually great with Lou Holtz, late 80s, early 90s. You know, they'd gotten back to glory. But, yeah, you're talking Bob Davy era, Tyrone Willingham. I mean, year after year. But Michigan's got a – they got a claim,
they
too.
They do.
They do. They've got a lot of September Heisman winners. But, yeah, I don't think this Notre Dame team is very, very good. Ian Book's a pretty good player. But they might lose anyway. Now, if you're Notre Dame and you win this game and Trevor Lawrence doesn't play, then you're really going to get sick of hearing about Notre Dame. And there's still going to be a whole bunch of doubt about them. And that would make the picture a lot more interesting, frankly.
And Reese Davis from ESPN had comments yesterday regarding the news for Trevor Lawrence and what this could mean for the college football playoff. Here's what Reese Davis had to say.
If they were to stumble, or if any team were to stumble without one of its, you know, one of its key players because of something like this, I don't think you erase the loss, but you can. It is also reasonable to look at it and say, okay, without this player, you know, they're one thing, but with him, they're quite another. So, you know, I think that it's not that the loss would be erased, but, you know, maybe depending on how they play once the player returns, whether it's Trevor or anyone else, then you evaluate the team for what it is at that moment. And that's really what the committee's charge is. So I don't think from their standpoint, other than it appearing to be a lot stickier, I'm not so sure that their process is any different at all.
So if Clemson stumbles and they lose to Notre Dame next week without Trevor Lawrence, how much do you think the College Football Playoff Committee holds that against them?
Frank, not much. I mean, we're going to probably find some of this out. Preconceived notions matter.
Yeah.
And quality of team that you know when that team is whole, they're that good, it matters. It's why they have now humans that they can say, well, eyeball test. You can always throw the eyeball test out for – it's just like the NCAA Selection Committee. And it gives you that wiggle room. And the wiggle room, frankly – will, and I think should, shade in the favor of teams that we all want to watch in the playoff, which would be Clemson, Ohio State, and Alabama.
Yeah. I think that's probably pretty
however
safe
we bet. Have to get there. Let's get
however we can get to Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State. Let's see if we can do that. When we come back, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em. The competition has gotten very tight. We'll see who can separate themselves this week. That coming up next. But first, make sure you catch the College Football Game of the Week this Saturday on ESPN 94.9, presented by Gary Fort's Acura. It's a catfight and an SEC West matchup as LSU goes to the Plains to take on the Auburn Tigers. Kickoff is 2:30 p.m. tomorrow on ESPN 94.9. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Oh, this music gets me fired up. It's time for Pigskin Pick'em here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth picking today here on the show. Joe, let's toss it to you for a very quick standings update. Things have gotten tight in this competition.
They have. In fact, it's 15 points across the board. So I have a 13-12 record against the spread, 15 points because I'm 2-3 in my locks. Robbie, 11-14, 15 points, 4-1 with his locks. And now we need to come up with a team name, I guess, because it's Munson, 12-13, 15 points. He's 3-2 on locks. Now becomes Porth. Is this like Munsorth? Mark Ryan?
You are trying too hard on that one. It's Morth.
It's Morth. Okay.
Morth.
Or Punson. Morth or Punson.
Morth sounds better than Punson.
Morth makes me think of Mork and Mindy, but also of sort of like an evil warlord in a fantasy movie. Morth. So if you guys win a championship, you and Munson you will hoist the trophy together.
So the standings are tied officially. Rex Road with the tiebreaker via record. So with that in mind, let's begin. Vanderbilt and Ole Miss on Saturday. Ole Miss getting 16.5. Porth,
give
start us off.
16.5.
Ole Miss favored by 16.5. Excuse me.
Ole Miss, and it's not even close. And you know what?
Wow. Okay.
That is my guarantee. Vandy has been blown out of way too many games in the last few years. Ole Miss, high-powered offense, they'll come in and put up 50.
Porth coming right out of the gate with a lock here in the competition.
50-burger.
Joe, Ole Miss or Vanderbilt? Who you got?
I'm not as emphatic as Ryan on that one. I do think Ole Miss will come in and put up a big number. I think Vanderbilt will also get its offense going. But I've got to ultimately give those 16.5. I think Ole Miss will win by about 20-something, 20-ish, low 20. So give me Ole Miss.
I'm in the same boat. Look, I bet against Vanderbilt a few times earlier this year. One time it worked, one time it didn't. But that Ole Miss offense, I think, when they're clicking, and I expect they will be on Saturday, they are tough to stop. Give me Ole Miss minus the 16.5. Moving along, no Vols game this weekend, so we've replaced it with an SEC West matchup. LSU taking on the Auburn Tigers. LSU on the road getting 3 points, minus 3 in that game as a favorite on the road. Joe, who you got, LSU or Auburn?
Yeah, I've got to go with the Tigers. I really like what they found with TJ Finley. Oh, wait, I just said I got to go with the Tigers,
didn't
I?
Yes, you did.
I tried to get that by you, didn't I?
Yeah,
I'm winning either way. I'm going to go with the LSU Tigers.
Okay.
I think TJ Finley looked good against a not great South Carolina team, but I think they're figuring some things out. They got some momentum now. I don't trust Auburn, which also means I don't trust Auburn to not rise up and, you know, Bo Nix. I mean, they can throw it around Seth Williams, but you know what? Give me the LSU Tigers and give away the 3.
The only hesitation I have with this pick is if maybe the officials pick up the game and just hand it to Auburn for the third time this year. They've already done it twice. Maybe they do it again. I think there's going to be a lot of attention on the officials in this game. That doesn't happen in this game. LSU wins. Give me LSU minus 3.
I'm going Auburn.
Oh.
I'm going Auburn. These are two rivals. Usually a close game. Auburn at home. They can be Jekyll and Hyde. LSU without their starting quarterback. I'm going Auburn.
And you're getting 3?
Getting 3. I like it.
Okay.
Moving along to the NFL matchup of the week here locally, the Titans traveling to Cincinnati to take on the lowly Cincinnati Bengals. Titans favored by 5.5 in that game. I will start, and I am going with the Titans in this game. I think their offense is just going to be too much for the Bengals to handle. I do think the Bengals will move the ball against that Titans defense, and I think Joe Burrow has the opportunity to be special. But I look at that Bengals defense right now. I don't know who in the world is going to stop Derrick Henry. I don't know who's going to stop A.J. Brown. And I certainly don't know who's going to stop Ryan Tannehill. Because of that, give me the Titans by 10 points in this game. Porth.
Titans.
Ooh.
Titans, I think it'll be close throughout the first few quarters. And in the fourth quarter, Derrick Henry takes over. And Jonnu Smith hits the 100 receiving yard mark. And the Titans pull away with a victory, and they cover the spread.
Okay. You know, that's not a bad call on Jonnu Smith, because he's a tight end. He can take it 75 yards on you, and then you got 75 right there.
He can. He's got to be healthy with that ankle. But, I think he will certainly be more apparent out there. And I'm going Titans, too. I think they're going to you know, I think Joe Burrow will have success. They'll throw the ball around. They'll score some points. I can't figure out how the Bengals are going to succeed defensively in this game, and I do think the Titans will get some stops because of that Bengals offensive line, an advantage the Titans haven't really had much this year. I think it's probably the worst. I don't think probably. I think clearly the worst offensive line as constructed with all those guys hurt, and they're going to have a little bit better feeling about themselves up front after this game.
So all three of us on the Titans train in this game. Now's where we deviate. College football picks. You can pick from any game in America. Porth, we'll start with you. Who do you have on the college football circuit?
Under the lights in the Big 12, I'm taking Texas Tech. They are 14.5-point dogs. I think that's going to be a high-scoring game, and they will at least cover the spread against an OU team that is annually overrated.
Ooh, annually overrated.
A team
that
already has two losses this year. They cannot tackle Casper the Ghost.
Yes.
Give me Texas Tech.
I like it. Joe, your college football pick of the week.
Wading in those defenseless Big 12 waters. That can be dicey.
It can be.
I'm going to Porth's squad.
Ooh.
I mean, and you know what? And give me this as a lock.
Oh.
-6.5, I think Memphis is a good football team, but I think this is a 10-point win plus for the Bearcats.
Guaranteed!
Give me the lock.
So the lock has been very strategically used by Joe Rexroad on his college football picks. You go to the college football well a lot on your lock.
I feel like there's always a couple lines in college football that, I mean, like K-State Kansas, I couldn't believe it. What was it, 19 or whatever? I'm like, they're going to win that game by 30. You know, the Florida State, Miami. I feel like there's always a chance for some wacky lines there where you really don't have that as much in the NFL.
Call me a believer in Sam Pittman and the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Ooh,
I saw the line this week. They're 12-point underdogs against Texas A&M. Look, I like a lot about what Texas A&M has done lately. I like Kellen Mond in that offense. But I think Arkansas is playing really well right now. I think that defense steps up. They have a big game. I don't think they win outright, but 12 points is a pretty big line. Give me Arkansas plus the 12 against A&M. That's why I feel really good about that.
They're playing some solid D. They are playing some absolutely solid defense.
Moving along to the NFL. So there's a lot of different ways you could go with this. I will start in the NFL competition. Give me the Indianapolis Colts -3 against the Detroit Lions. I feel like this is a perfect example of when things are going right for the Lions, which they are right now, they immediately go wrong the following week. They will go wrong this week. You don't see bad Phillip Rivers show up. Indy wins by 2 touchdowns. Make it my lock. I really like this pick against Detroit.
Woo!
So your lock is directly opposed to one of my called shots.
Yes, it is.
And you're right about the Lions. It's just a matter of when they're going to fall off the cliff. I think they got a little bit more teasing to do.
There's a little bit more time left in that thing. Joe, who you got?
I'm going to your guys' squads this week. I mean, again, this is a line. It's the NFL.
It's a sucker line.
It is. But, man, 6.5 for the Packers, I just really think they're going to win that game by a touchdown or more. I mean, how do you not jump all over this? You're right. I almost always go with like college games for the lock. I almost made this my lock, but just give me the Packers -6.5 against the lowly selling Vikings.
One thing you got to be wary of is garbage time points.
Yep,
the Minnesota Vikings very good at garbage time points. But I agree. I think the Packers are going to handle this game pretty easily. Porth, who you got in the NFL?
It is a line that I think it would scare off a lot of people. It ain't going to scare me off.
Ooh.
Give me Kansas City.
Yeah.
19.5-point favorites at home against the Jets. Give me the Chiefs.
Ooh.
The Jets are awful. I mean, they might be the worst team since Joe's Detroit Lions. What was it? What year was it when they went over?
2008, I think. 2008?
The Jets.
Rod Marinelli?
Are awful. I mean, this is like Alabama versus Tennessee last
Ooh.
Week.
Ooh. Is this the Le'Veon Bell revenge tour game?
Oh, that's right.
Going up against his former squad.
I will say, man, I felt great about the Bills 12.5 and the Jets last week. But it's still the Chiefs.
Bills.
It's not the Bills.
The Bills. I like the picks, boys. Well done here on Porth's inaugural edition of Pigskin Pick'em. The competition is tight.
Morth?
Morth.
Yes, Morth. Excuse me. The competition is tight. I feel good about taking the lead this weekend.
Good. I hope you feel good.
That'll make my
demise.
Until
the Detroit Lions ruin your Sunday.
I can't believe that you still have faith in the Lions.
I don't
after
have faith
everything
in them.
That you've preached to me Detroit Lions football.
I have faith in them to tease occasionally. It's just a matter of you just got to know when it's going
to
stop.
Is Joe going to be paying more attention to the Colts Lions game in the Paul Brown Stadium press box than the actual game going on in front of him?
I will. I will absolutely not. But I'm sure I'll be getting texts every time the Lions get a first down.
When we come back, we will wrap up the show, look ahead to the Titans-Bengals matchup. But first, I got some tickets to weigh. I got a 4-pack of tickets to give away to see Nashville SC take on Chicago tomorrow at Nissan Stadium. If you can text into our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, how many yards did I say A.J. Brown would have on Sunday against the Bengals as a part of my called shot? How many yards did I say A.J. Brown would have? If you could text in with the right answer on our text line, you will win the 4-pack of tickets to give away from Nashville SC as they take on Chicago tomorrow. That's coming up next. But first, Titans fans, make sure Corner Pub is the place you check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown, and great beer specials, including $1 off of Yazoo and Happ & Harry's draft beer specials, plus Happ & Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's Best NFL Pregame Show live from the Corner Pub in Brentwood this Sunday. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. prior to the Titans taking on Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. The NFL Pregame Show features Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders, and is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Are you or your kid dressing up as a Nashville Predator, Titans, Nashville SC player, or a sports star for Halloween? If you are, enter the ESPN The Game Nashville Sports Costume Contest presented by Wilson County Hyundai at thegamenashville.com for a chance to win a $100 gift card to Nashville Underground. Just submit a picture of you or your kid in the sports costume, and you're entered for a chance to win. The contest will close on Monday, which is November the 2nd. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Titans taking on the Bengals on Sunday. By the way, Mike Vrabel scheduled to speak today, I think sometime around 12:25, to the media. You can hear that. Live press conferences on ESPN 102.5 The Game are brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Darren Donick and Chase will have that for you later today. Joe, as you look ahead to this matchup between the Titans and the Bengals, what stands out to you specifically about the matchup, and what are you hoping to see from the Titans defensively in this matchup, which we've talked a whole lot about this week, the struggles they've had so far?
Well, every week I look for them to be a little bit more sound against the run. It hasn't been as bad lately. They also haven't really faced teams that have tried to run or have tried to feature the run on them. Really, that's three straight games that the run has been an afterthought for the opponent. And yet, even in those games, there have been some really big moments, even like a second and 12 and you give up 8 yards, or they've given up the third. I mean, at this point, like, I expect a quick kick to bounce off a Titan and then become a turnover on if it's a third down. Like, every third down thing is not working for them. But stop the run. Now, I know the goal there is then to get into third and long, which is not good for the Titans, but start there. Be more sound against the run. And I do want to see, I think this is not the week necessarily to be more aggressive. I think the last matchup, there were times when you could argue, be a little bit more aggressive with the secondary. But if they get Adoree Jackson back, I think they can be a little bit more aggressive. And you just want to see, against an offensive line like this, I want to see 3-4 sacks. And that may sound
oh
like,
my goodness.
Right. I mean, it's not like I'm asking for the world here, but 3-4 sacks, and beyond sacks, because we talk about this all the time, especially with Clowney, consistent affecting of the quarterback. The Bengals know their situation, so the Bengals are probably going to get the ball out even faster than normal, given their situation, and maybe try to move Burrow around. But if you stop the run and you can win up front, then I think you're going to be fine and build a little bit of confidence. Start bringing that 61%, closer to, 55%. That's still an NFL record, but still.
The Bengals, by the way, do average 4 sacks allowed per game. So I don't think that's an unfair ask there, Joe.
And that's
how many sacks per game the Titans defense average?
Probably like 0.25.
Okay. Yeah. All righty. And that's, you know, giving up that number is with guys who aren't playing Sunday. So, you know, you got to take advantage of that. The Titans have done a good job of forcing turnovers as a defense. And if not, I don't know what the team's record would be, but it wouldn't
be
5-1.
They lead the league in turnover differential. They're +9 in turnover differential.
Which is both sides. They're doing a great job of taking care of it. But you got to get some more third downs. The third down, it's going to be just like, again, with the Preds a couple years ago. It's like, yeah, here's 3rd and 11. How are they going to give it up now? They got to stop that. They got to stop that conversation.
They do, and I mean, the called shots y'all had earlier, I was impressed. Vic Beasley getting a sack. Derek Roberson being activated and getting a sack. If one of those things happened, I'm willing to come in on Monday and salute the two of you. I will do it. I'm not going to give you a hug.
What if
normally
they both,
I would.
What if they both happen?
Oh, man.
What if we both?
If Derek Roberson is number one activated and gets a sack and Vic Beasley gets a sack? I feel like I need to bring y'all something.
I was just about to say, you'd have to bring us Starbucks.
Yeah, some donuts maybe?
Well, is Starbucks open by the time I get in here? I have no idea.
I think some locations open up at 5 a.m.
Okay. Is that right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's time for you to find out.
Maybe I'll just get some donuts the night before. Eat it up. I don't know.
some like you buy them late in the day and they're already stale donuts?
You got to buy them at the right place.
Okay.
I know where the right place is.
Robbie can make a dozen a box of dozen donuts last for like a week.
Yeah.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah. The microwave's your friend in these situations.
You got like microwave with like some butter on top too?
I don't know if I go butter on top of the donuts.
Butter on a donut?
I don't know if I immediately want to die of a heart attack. Like it may happen at some point.
And bacon.
And bacon on the donuts. I mean that's a bold move there.
You guys ever had like a maple bacon bar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah, out in Mariota's stomping grounds, Eugene, Oregon, best maple bacon bar ever had.
I thought you were about to go somewhere different with that. Like Marcus is just throwing back maple bacon bars all day.
He's got a new hairstyle now.
I saw that.
You see that?
He was throwing those back last year for, you know, week 7 through 16 watching Ryan Tannehill go up and down the field.
I feel like there's some slander going on over here.
There's a lot. I think there's a little bit of pent-up frustration.
By the way.
Over Marcus.
He's healthy now. So do we see some Mariota packages for Gruden and the Raiders?
Why not?
YOLO. Hey, if Taysom Hill.
You get the ball.
If Taysom Hill can constantly get key plays for the New Orleans Saints, why can't Marcus get a couple, right?
Yeah, you remember the touchdown pass Derrick Henry threw in the playoff game last year to Corey Davis?
You're wide open.
Marcus is over on the right. There's nobody on the side of the field with him. And Derrick was just like, nah, I'll throw it in front of me.
What a nice swan song that could have been for Marcus, you know, to catch that TD pass from Derrick Henry.
Didn't he almost score a touchdown in Houston in week 17?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Right, yes.
What do you think the chances are Marcus would have dropped that ball if Derek threw it up there to him?
By the, like, within a year from now, we will have come around to, like, Marcus Mariota was, like, the worst football player who ever played, you know?
I like Marcus. I really do.
Yeah, you were definitely on the Marcus hater team.
I said that he sucked at quarterback 3 years ago, and everybody got mad at me. I will never let that go.
That was really early. Hey, listen, you ended up being right, but that was really early to think he sucked after 2016.
I got an eye for the talent, my friend. Let me tell you, I've seen some bad quarterbacks before.
3 hours east.
Oh, man, yeah. Seen some real bad ones over there. Just be thankful, or maybe you shouldn't be thankful that you weren't here for the Met show. Give me some Zach Mettenberger. It was
Rusty
pretty good.
Smith.
Yeah. My brother
Rusty.
Bought.
There's a Lions legend.
My brother bought a Zach Mettenberger jersey, which I'm convinced, other than Mettenberger himself and his family, got to be the only person that owns one, right? He still wears it. If he goes to a Titans game, he will wear his Zach Mettenberger jersey. I feel like that's pretty loyal.
That's
insane, one of the two.
Well, and wasn't Mettenberger like Lawan's best friend here?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's still coaching high school football here somewhere.
I think Hillsborough
like
High
Hillsborough.
School. I think the OC calling the shots.
Yeah, man.
Nice.
Good for him.
Yeah. He's calling his shots every Friday night.
Yeah. He is. Look at Porth.
Who knew that this show would wind all the way around to Zach Mettenberger in the end?
Look, this is a versatile
show. You never know where we're going to go.
By the way, hopefully this trip to Cincinnati goes better for the Titans than the last time they went to Cincinnati. Ooh. Because the last time they went to Cincinnati, Bleedy Ray Wilson bounced off of Andy Dalton.
Yes.
And my buddy and I were there to see it, and it was a depressing 3.5 hours.
Isn't that the game where Mohamed Sanu threw the touchdown pass?
To Andy Dalton? Yes.
And Bleedy Ray Wilson ran right
by. It was also the day after we learned of Rob Baronis passing away in the car accident. So that was just a bad day all around for the Titans.
We'll be back on Monday to react to the Titans game against the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll see you then, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Darren, Donick, and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.